There's a house. The front of the house faces south. The back of the house faces north. The left-hand side of the house faces west. And the right-hand side of the house faces east. If a rooster lays an egg on the peak of the roof, which way will it roll? Roosters don't lay eggs. You know, nobody got it at 8:30 except one young kid. Sean, you're kind of about, Ian, you're about that right kind of same kind of kid. You know, it's so funny to me because, you know, which way are we going to go? Here's the day of Pentecost. We've got the day of Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Pentecost is the time when the Holy Spirit descends upon the church, descends upon the community, and empowers them to go out. It names all the different things. And I don't, who are Elamites? You know, I never could figure that out. But they send on all these different people, and they speak in a united language, but they're understood in all the different languages. In a sense, it's a communication that all of a sudden brings everything together. But where did the people go from there? Do you think they looked at that as the end of something or as the beginning of something? I mean, after all, Pentecost, what is it? It's the time when Jesus fulfills his promise that he will send them an advocate. A promise. So after Jesus has died and resurrected, after he's ascended into heaven, after the disciples have waited 10 days and they're all waiting in the city for the promise that was sent to them, and it descends upon them to bring them, in a sense, the power that they need to go and do what God wants them to do. But is it the end of something or is it the beginning of something? I guess it all depends on how you look at things. How do you look at things? Where are you going to go? Do you look at things as sort of endings or do you look at things as sort of beginnings? I'm always amazed that, you know, I mean, if you actually walk out of this church, as you go out the doors, you'll see a sign that says exit. But you're just exiting this building and you're entering into the outside, correct? And some buildings even have on one side of the door exit and the other side of the door entrance. Because every exit is an entrance. But you got to look at things differently. You know, it's funny, as I prayed about this and I looked at the scriptures for today, I realized something, that most people are, you know, not excited about the future that much. It's because it's unfamiliar. And they enter into that unfamiliarity with great fear sometimes. And yet I believe that God calls us to never go into the unfamiliar afraid. He always calls us to go into the unfamiliar with faith. And we go into it in a positive way, not looking for, oh my God, what are we losing? But most of us, here again, to be honest with you, carry resentments. Do you ever realize that when you're resentful of a person or a situation or anything, your eyes are looking backwards, not looking forward? Do you ever realize that, you know what, if you have a resentment, you can't be resentful of the future. It hasn't happened yet. But resentment of the past, of situations or people, as small as you might say, limits you of going into the future positively and with faith. Because the resentment takes you back to a fear, keeps you in fear, and you can't break out of that sometimes with faith to go through and see the positive things that are ahead of you. That's why I believe that one of the things as Christians we're called to do is to give a real short list on resentments and get rid of them as fast as possible. To get rid of them. On the day of Pentecost, I believe it was the beginning of something new. Something that was different, something that had been talked about from the past, that Jesus had promised from the past, but that was going to lead them into the future. I believe that it was the beginning of the church. It was the beginning of an empowered body of believers that would go out and change the world. You know, I always laugh. You know, there's a story about when Jesus gets up to heaven and Gabriel, the angel, looks at him and says, you know what? you know, the work you did down there on earth, man, you did a great job. You, Gabriel goes, Jesus, you just did incredible. You know, going through the crucifixion and coming through to the resurrection and getting to the place where he ascended, you just did a great job. But, you know, you did all this great work of all your ministry, but who's going to carry that on? And Jesus looks at, you know, Gabriel and says, well, I got my disciples. I got, you know, the apostles, and I've got the disciples that are going to be there. And Gabriel looks at him and says, well, you know, I mean, look at them. They aren't really strong. They aren't really smart. They aren't really good. He goes, "What? That's what it is. That's who you got going out to do it?" And Jesus looks at him and goes, yeah, there is no plan B. And the Holy Spirit guarantees that we have the ability to go forward into the future. The Holy Spirit guarantees that we will be called to go forward and mold and shape ourselves because of the transformation of that Spirit within us. But it all depends on how much we access that and what direction our eyes stay in. Which way are we going to go? Which way are we going to roll? Which way are we going to allow God to lead us in? Are we going to be held back by resentment? Or are we going to be pushed forward by faith? You know, when I really thought about that and I looked at the story of the gospel that we have today, it's from John chapter 14. Now, everybody knows the beginning of this story, but some of us don't necessarily always look at this part of the story. In the beginning of John chapter 14, if you've ever been to a funeral, you probably heard those scriptures where Jesus comes and he says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. You know, if we were not told, I wouldn't have told you about it. And, you know, and I go to prepare a place for you. And then all of a sudden, Thomas jumps in here and said, look, we don't know where we're going. We don't know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's directly before this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But then, all of a sudden, Philip jumps in there, as we see in the scripture that we have today. And what does Philip say? Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus, I think, is a little exasperated. And he looks at him and says, I've been with you this long and you don't know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? You know, you don't know that? You don't know that, you know, the works that are done through me is done because the Father's in me? And then he says this, which I think is the most profound and so often I think I've missed. If you don't believe me because of who I am, believe me because of the works that I do. You know what? I wonder how many of us only believe in God because of results. I wonder if we sometimes only believe because of the results we have rather than because of the character of God. I remember years ago reading A Road Less Traveled. In the beginning of that book, Scott Peck writes, life is difficult, God is good. And you can't make it through life, which is difficult, unless you know God is good. And your belief shouldn't be in just the results of what God does. Your belief should be in the actual character of God, because results don't come into you. You experience them, but they don't come into you. But the character of God is called to come into you. And if you only believe because of results, because of works, then to tell you the truth, you limit yourself as to how much of the Spirit you're going to let in, because it's all going to be dependent upon what you see going on around you. And no offense, most of the time when I pray to God, he sort of doesn't fulfill his, you know, his will the way I want him to. You know? Does he for you? I mean, if he does, to be honest with you, you lucked out. But for me, every time I pray, God acts. I have no question about that. But he doesn't necessarily give me the results that I want. But when I really believe in the character of God and know God, then all of a sudden something opens up to me that the results don't matter as much. And if the results don't matter as much, then it's not dependent upon, in a sense, what he produces. It's dependent upon simply me being connected to the one who created me. And I know I'm at home. that he is in me and I am in him. What's your faith based on? Where are you going with this? Do you believe in just a God that produces the results you want? Because if you do, then probably a lot of times you're really disappointed. Or do you believe in a God that is good, that's out there for your goodness, that you are called to get to know more deeply than ever before, that you are called to move and become more like, that you are called to trust in even when it's not going your way, that you know that God's going to deliver something better than what you can even imagine? Because when you go into that place where you realize that God's going to be there for me, even in the midst of things, but it might not turn out with the result that I want, then all of a sudden you're intimate. All of a sudden you're there. All of a sudden you've moved beyond transaction to closeness. And that's the God that we have. And that's where Jesus says very clearly, he says this, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." You see, to know the character of God is to be in him. To know the results of God is to keep him at arm's distance. And if you have a faith that is in him, then the possibilities are limitless. But if you keep him at arm's length, well, to tell you the truth, you're just using God probably to get through the world that you live in rather than to enter the kingdom that is coming into this world. We as Christians are called to enter into the kingdom that's coming into this world bit by bit, little by little, step by step. On Pentecost, the church began, but it was a beachhead for the kingdom of God. And we are on that shore, and we've got to climb those bluffs. We've got to go through difficult times. We've got to get there. But that's really where we become who we're called to be. That's what makes us the people of God. The great Oswald Chambers, who many of you know because he wrote Utmost and Most Highest, said this. He said, "If you yourselves do not cut the lines that tie you to the dock, God will have to use a storm to sever them and to send you out to sea. Put everything in your life afloat upon God, going out to sea on the great swelling tide of his purpose, and your eyes will be opened. If you believe in Jesus, you are not to spend all your time in the calm waters just inside the harbor, full of joy, but always tied to the dock. You have to get out past the harbor into the great depths of God and begin to know things for yourself. Begin to have spiritual discernment." You see, God calls us beyond where we are. He never called you to be comfortable. I wish I could say he did, but he didn't. He called you to be at peace of moving more and more into the kingdom as you travel through this world. And as you travel through this world and you enter more and more into the kingdom, then you become a little bit less what you are right now and turn into a little bit more what you ought to be. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you care more about being with God than getting your will in this world. And you set aside your will so that you can embrace his will. And embracing his will, great things start happening. Things change. The way you see the people around you are different than you've ever seen before. Your view of the future is not that it's unfamiliar and frightening. Your view of the future is, no, I don't know what's there, but I have faith to get through that adventure. Because the important thing is not even getting through that, it's being with the Creator himself, the living God, who is in you and we are in him. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you ask yourself, which way are you going to roll? Which way are you going to go? Are you going to believe in the character of God, in knowing him? Or are you just simply going to stay with I just want the results to get through this world. I pray that you know him. Otherwise, you've really missed a lot of life. Because it's in him that we have life and life in all its fullness. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.